Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Institute for Personal Development, Kriya Yoga Ashram, where total consciousness is the new frontier.
Kriya Yoga is union of the individual with the divine. Join us as we explore the practices to initiate this process.
Good morning. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. Let's Talk Consciousness. I am your hostess, Lisa Winton, and with me is Kenny Toy, also known as Swami Jayananda, founder of the Institute for Personal Development, located here in Hampton, New Hampshire. Good morning, Swami. Thank you for being here today. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing pretty good today. How about you?
I'm doing great today, too. Thanks for asking. And we want to thank you all for tuning in. Today in the Voice of Yoga, we will talk about the archery terms of sin and evil as missing the mark and everything that isn't the mark. In this show, we will discuss the differences between the outer world of sense and the inner world of spirit and how to stay on target. Listen as we explore healing the sick, reforming the sinner, and raising the dead as practice for the game of life. From James 2:26, "For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also." Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. We are talking consciousness. Join the Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance to get the light in your soul and hit the mark. So today's title of the show is Declaration Without Demonstration is Sin. Could you first explain to us what we mean by declaration in this model?
Well, we're talking about when we make a statement. A lot of us make these claims or statements. And the main theme of this show is not to judge by appearances, which may be good or bad, but to judge, is it physical, mental energy, or is it spiritual light? And then how would I know the difference? Because so many of us are saying, I'm spiritual, I'm spiritually awakened, and yet our lives aren't filled with the fruits of the spirit. And so when you drill down with the term sin, a lot of us really think, as long as I'm living a good life, as long as I'm a good human being, then I'm not sinning. But that isn't really what Scripture meant by the term sin. If I sow to the flesh, whether it's good or bad, I'm actually living in sin. And so, like in this title, what we're saying, declaration without demonstration, is the sin. Am I able to prove the presence of this invisible, intangible, divine creation, which is perfect? And the only way that we can do that is if we are conscious of it. And so you reverse engineer it. If I'm conscious of it, then divine truth in consciousness must externalize as what was referred to as a healing or a demonstration, because spirit testifies with deeds, not words.
I want to get back to those words that you were saying. You were talking about good or bad. Could I assume that if I feel like I'm living a good life, I could be living in sin? I could be missing this mark?
Well, that's exactly what we're getting at. To live a life of a good human being doesn't go far enough based on the promises we are given in Scripture. And so the more you drill down with it, the more you understand it, and the more we learn divine science, you really see the message of the Christ was to heal the sick, reform sinner, raise the dead. That was what they called preaching the gospel. And so we look around and we see where humanity is in the development of consciousness, and we see that we're still living with all of the same problems that have existed since the beginning of time, and we really haven't found a better use of this term mind. And that's what we're trying to do, is open this up and reestablish the standard that Mary Baker Eddy actually discovered.
So just to clarify the point, many of us may have been brought up to believe that if we're having good experiences, a good life, good job, good family, good health, all of that, God may be smiling upon us. But I think we were talking about in another show that that could just be a karmic situation.
Yeah, we do talk about that quite a bit when we mention in Revelations where they talk about looks like a lamb, speaks like a dragon. We're still in the cycle of death and rebirth, but like you say, karmically, we're experiencing karmic merit. And that becomes another obstruction, because when things are going pretty good, it would be more difficult to jump out of an airplane with a parachute if it's a perfectly good airplane. But if the plane was going down, then typically you jump out because you're out of choices. And when life's going pretty good, we have a tendency to really stay attached to what now we understand to be the false sense of existence, which is the cycle of death and rebirth. It's the dragon and two beasts in Revelations. But in order for us to find what in yoga they call liberation, freedom from this cycle of death and rebirth, and to live in the truth of being, then we must put off this false sense of existence. But in yoga, we also talk about avidya, ignorance, or what von Goethe said, none are more hopelessly enslaved than those who falsely believe they're free. And so when things are going pretty good in the outside world and you're thinking, wow, God is shining on me, then we're being deceived by this hypnotic state of false existence.
Swami, so how would we know if we're living a good life from karmic merit or if we're living good life because we have this connection or we think we have this connection to spirit?
The main way to understand that is the light of spiritual truth dissolves the false sense of existence. You cannot be in the truth of your being and at the same time accept yourself as being a finite, mortal existence with an expiration date. And the other thing is, it's really not going to happen by itself. We really have to initiate a process. And for us to rise out of the belief in the many into the understanding of the one omnipresent self. Sin means missing the mark, and the mark is divine truth. And unless we are conscious of this invisible, intangible omnipresence, we are sinning. We're missing the mark. And as long as we are accepting and believing in the many, we're really missing the mark.
So I have a question about thoughts. We've been talking a lot about what the appearances are in front of us. They come from our thoughts. Again, how would we know where our thoughts are? If they're coming from our mortal mind or if they're coming from divine mind, is it even possible for us to have a thought from divine mind?
We have divine mind. We have a divine self. And it's only capable of perceiving divine idea. So when human thought comes in, you can know that it didn't come from divine mind. We purify thought until the dawning of the realization, only divine truth is here. The human thought says, God is here to help me. But in truth, only God is present. That is when we have stopped sinning. Because in the light of this divine truth, this spiritual revelation, there is only one life. It's spiritual. It's perfect. It doesn't need anything. And we can't have a personal sense of self and an understanding of this oneness. Just like Jesus said, I and the Father are one. In order to actualize this, we must assume spiritual identity. We must realize what is appearing on the ground as a finite mortal being is not the truth of my being. It is not who I am. Part of this is educating our thought up to this spiritual apprehension of oneness.
What is it that you mean by educating thought?
Now, what the human mortal mind does is it thinks. It forms thoughts and opinions based on the information that's coming in through our material senses. It works in duality. It works on contrast. We would call that thought. Divine mind works in terms of the absolute. It works in the omnipresence. And in omnipresence, there's no division. There's no contrast. It is just one perfect, harmonious, divine existence. And so we make a distinction between thinking and beholding or knowing, because when you're thinking in terms of duality. You're still working with your corporeal senses. But when we rise above material thought into our soul sense, spiritual sense, now we're thinking in terms of the absolute. There's a difference. One sees the world of many, and the other one sees the world of one. One is physical, mental energy, and the other one is spiritual light. But we come in with a mind that is hijacked by the world mind, and we're getting our information from duality. So we need to educate our thought up to spiritual apprehension, because we start out, we're in the lower stream of life, the sense level, the outer world of sense. But as we rise into this upper stream of life, which is spirit, whole, and one, we graduate from thinking with our material senses to knowing with our spiritual senses. But it is a process. So we educate our thought up to spiritual apprehension, and then we stop thinking, forming thoughts and opinions based on information coming through the material senses. And in this silence and in this stillness, now we let divine mind take over the scientific government of the body. And as this spiritual light illuminates our thought, we come out of time, space, concept, belief, thinking, human will, personal sense. We come out of the belief in the many into the understanding of the one.
So I realize now that if I have a thought and it has some type of a duality in there, you know, good and bad, light and dark, that type of thing, then I know I am operating from this human mortal mind.
Right. That's what we said. You have divine mind, but you also have to understand divine mind, which is not of this world, perceives only its creation, only divine absolute truth. And when we stop thinking and competing with it, we can make our mind receptive to this invisible, intangible, divine idea. And the outer world of sense and the inner world of spirit become one when divine truth is your only consciousness.
So say we have stopped sinning because we've realized this truth that only God is present. So then what?
Once you've grasped the idea of what sinning really is, and you have this new meaning for living in sin and what that really looks like, living under the influence of the outer world of sense is very different than when we rise out of this lower outer world of sense into the upper inner world of spirit. We begin to understand the principle. Divine truth in consciousness really does mend bones. Therefore, when it isn't demonstrating the omnipresence, it must be a sin.
We're going to pause right here to hear a word from our sponsor. So listeners, we'll be back with you in just a few moments.
Kriya Yoga Theory 1, Human Development and the 8 Essential Stages of Kriya Yoga. This program is a comprehensive course that will help you get your arms around the science of Kriya Yoga. It provides a clear understanding of the goals and objectives behind yoga, along with the physics of spirituality. It includes the practices, supportive concepts of Kriya Yoga, and the process in human development, apotheosis, the process of the human becoming divine. A complete guide on how to become a human in the adult state. Get the light in your soul and experience the simplicity and joy of union with the divine. This course is available in live classes at the ashram or online with 8 videos or 4 CDs. Visit our website, www.ipdtransform.com, for more information.
Welcome back. For those of you just joining us, you're listening to The Voice of Yoga, and we are talking consciousness. So, Swami, I see we have some works here by Mary Baker Eddy that would be appropriate to our topic today. Would you recite that for us?
Well, actually, this isn't from Mary Baker Eddy, but what we want to really start to understand is that there's a difference between too much letter and not enough spirit of this truth. And in a book, Mary Baker Eddy, Christian Healer, by Von Fettweise and Warneck, on page 217, I'll read this. "I have just saved the life of one of my students and treated him only once. The demonstration of what I have taught them heals the sick. It absolutely disgusts me to hear them babble the letter and after that fail in proving what they say. It is high time that they stop talking science or do prove their words true." End of quote. See, Mary Baker Eddy understood you can't talk spirituality. Spirit is a demonstrable principle. Most of us talk spirituality and we think we're spiritual. But we're only doing that because we're trying to do it with the mind that can't bring forth the divine image. And this is what Mary Baker Eddy's discovery was. She figured out what Jesus was doing with his miracles. Jesus wasn't talking spirituality. He wasn't preaching to people. He was demonstrating the presence, the power, the perfection of this divine creative principle, which is right here and right now. And it's available to any one of us, but we must be conscious of it. Mouthing words is not being conscious of this divine truth.
You kind of remind me of that saying that I heard quite a while ago, and that was, those who can't do, teach. Kind of sounds like what it is that you're talking about.
Yeah, those that know, do, and those that don't, teach. Yeah, there's a lot of sayings that we use. To know when not to do is yet not to know is another great one. Or another one that we use a lot is, talk doesn't cook the rice. And what we try and do is prove what it is that we're talking about. Walk the talk. To be the change you want to see. All of these cliche statements. But in the final analysis, it really comes down to, do I understand myself spiritually? And how would I know if I did? Because if understanding myself spiritually is the same as me understanding myself as a finite mortal being, something's wrong with the picture, is what we're saying.
Well, we have a verse here from 1 Corinthians 2:4 that kind of substantiates what it is that we're now talking about.
Yeah, I'll read it. "And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith shall not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." End of quote. Yeah, this is exactly what we're talking about. Spirit is a demonstrable principle. Unfortunately for humanity, the way religion has presented this, it's just something we talk about. And we have this false concept about God. Nobody seems to really want to question their concept of God, because to question your concept of God isn't being unfaithful to God. I love what Herb Fitch said about that. It removes the insult to your God, because we don't seem to be getting good results from our concept of God. In this teaching, you're starting to see why.
Well, I think we have some writings by Herb Fitch that might be appropriate at this time to review that. Would you recite that for us?
Yeah, this is from Herb Fitch, Revelation of St. John 20a. I'll read it. All around you, the people you love, the people you respect, the people you wish to help, are anchored in the belief that we are mortal beings, and there is no way that you can help them, other than demonstrating through your awareness of the presence of God, that you are not a mortal being. So your words will not help them. Your promises will not help them. Nothing you do can help them if you leave them in the belief that they are mortal beings, because you can be sure that the only reason 29 in a plane die is because they believe they are mortal beings, and in doing so, they are separated from the immortal presence, which is the only presence. End of quote. Yeah, see, this is all educating thought up to spiritual apprehension. We're coming out of these false concepts and theories and human beliefs about God, and we're starting to uncover the truth about it. The Bible says, know the truth and it makes you free. Well, it makes us free from the belief that we are finite mortal beings. And in this realization of the truth, you understand that life is perfect.
So I see we have some words here from Joel S. Goldsmith that further substantiates our point about talking and demonstrating.
Yeah, I'll read this. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, have not love, it availeth nothing. It would not make any difference how wonderful my speech, how marvelous the statements of truth which roll off my tongue, if these statements and this speech are not imbued with a sense of God's allness. They will be of no avail in the healing ministry. It is not the speech, it is not the letter of truth which is important. It is the degree in which the consciousness of the practitioner is imbued with the understanding of God as love and life, the degree in which the practitioner has lost the ability to fear, to hate, or to love, error of every kind. End of quote. Yeah, more and more I'm starting to understand how important it is to live under the influence of spiritual awareness. This invisible, intangible omnipresence is the only power in the universe. And for me to be conscious of that becomes the ultimate coping skill. Because like we say, how we think is what we become. But if we are thinking with divine mind as divine mind, then it will outpicture the perfection of being. Because when spirit is cause, creation is perfect.
I have a curiosity about something that he wrote. The degree in which the consciousness of the practitioner is imbued with an understanding of God as love and life. So does that mean that there are different levels of this understanding and that's going to outpicture in our external world? I guess I always thought this was an all or nothing situation.
Well, to the best of my understanding, spiritual light kind of reminds me of when you wake up early in the morning and the sun is rising. The dawning could be a similar example for how spiritual light begins to dawn on consciousness. First, you're in pitch black, it's darkness, and then all of a sudden, as the sun begins to rise, you can start to make out shadows, images. They're not in the full light of when you see things in their true color. And so that's the way that I understand what Joel Goldsmith is talking about. As we're educating thought up to spiritual apprehension, we get a little bit more light and a little bit more understanding. It happens in what they call an unfolding. It's like you start with belief. It graduates to faith. And then eventually, it rises into what was called understanding, when you know the truth.
Would that explain why there could be days when a healer could have this instantaneous healing with a person and then the next day may not have that same result?
I would agree with that. I think everything is dependent upon consciousness, whatever it is that we are conscious of. And to maintain this constant relation with the divine truth is a full-time job. And all of the forces really seem to be in favor of us falling out of divine truth, divine consciousness, than would be for us to accidentally fall into it.
We have talked about before about this phrase, putting off the old man. It seems to come up a lot in our radio shows. How does that apply to what we're talking about here today?
Yes, the idea of humility. Like we had said, for transmutation, Jesus takes John, Peter, and James to the mountaintop. Now, that's symbolism for what is the preparatory work to have this appearance of spirit and truth. Now, in that symbolism, Jesus, of course, is Christ. Christ is what makes divine truth comprehensive to human consciousness. John is the symbol for love. To love this invisible, intangible, omnipresent supremely. Peter was faith. To have faith in the presence, the perfection, the power, and the activity of this divine love that you love supremely. James was humility. Humility here is not false modesty, but instead it is putting off the old man. And I have something here from Matthew 10:39, and I'll read it. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. There's another one here, Matthew 16:24. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. What is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father and his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. End of quote. See, this is what we're really talking about. He shall reward every man according to his works. That's what we're talking about, demonstrating the presence of the divine creation. Am I conscious of this divine truth?
So putting off the old man is like us lifting the veil of our sense of our mortality and really understanding this divine truth that God is all.
Yeah, that would be stepping out into the full light of the divine creation, because it would dissolve the belief that there is a world of many, that there is a finite existence, that God made a universe that is in constant change, and God is expecting us to help make his imperfect universe perfect. That would eliminate all of those false beliefs.
Well, it is that time to start breaking down our show for today, so listeners, be sure to visit the website, www.ipdtransform.com. On the homepage, you see the Fading Banner Blog Talk Radio. Click that, directs you to the Blog Talk Radio Show catalog page. Clicking on the Products tab, then Online Classes, directs you to all the classes that Swami has available. Any final thoughts about today's show?
Well, I would like to encourage people to join the Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance to get the light in your soul and to hit the mark. Namaste.
Thank you for listening to our program, The Voice of Yoga. I'm Lisa Winton, with me, Kenny Toy, signing off. Have a wonderful Kriya Yoga kind of day. Namaste.